Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if I want to fight with this or not. Let's see. There you go. Praise Him. I guess this was mine from earlier.
Yes, it was.
It's Pellegrino sparkling water. Lightly flavored. You should try it. Are we on?
Are we on?
Do I have to turn? Okay, then I thought I was being instructed to turn it on. I didn't know.
No.
Okay, can you hear me? You can hear me.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Good to be with you, everybody, today. We were singing, "Let us become more aware of His presence." And every time we sing that, it puts you in remembrance of the fact that we're not just here gathered in a place by ourselves, but the Lord is with us.
Yes.
And you know, depending on how you came up, you can have like a real concept of what that phrase means. Well, the Lord's with us, you know, meaning like He's on your side, but like so far on your side that you don't experience it. But how many know that when we're together, He endeavors to He wants to manifest Himself,
yes.
Meaning He wants to make Himself tangibly real
yes.
to you. So. Learn, develop, cultivate an awareness of that presence. How many have ever experienced the presence of God? You've sensed Him.
Yes.
And you're like, I know that's God.
Right.
You can develop an awareness of His presence that gets stronger and stronger as you go.
Yeah.
And next year, if you walk with God close, you can have more of that. I like the word tangibility. I use it a lot. You can have more of that presence.
Yes.
Than you did this year.
Yes.
And it's so key that you've made the decision to come to a place where His presence is manifesting strong, because that's how you learn to identify that,
yeah. Right.
Is being together. We're grateful for all that you can do, you know, technology-wise, listening to stuff and watching stuff. But man, I'll tell you, there's something that happens in person,
yes.
that just doesn't happen the other way. So here we are. How many have ever gone, I'm not going to think you're like some sinner or anything, but how many have ever liked a group, listened to a group, but then you actually went to the concert? You actually went to see them live, and you're like, oh my, and it was like a different dimension of the experience, right? Well, I'm telling you, that's what it is, coming to a place where God's working, where God's moving. You get to experience a dimension of Him that's different than just listening to what we used to say when I was growing up, listening to the record. Someday I'll explain to you what those things are. And there was a time where I stumbled upon a field full of money. But I'm not going to tell you that story now. I have a book called What Happened to Honor. That story is in that book if you actually care, which you don't have to, about the time where I found a field full of money. It's in that book, just so you know. I got thinking about it when she said, your lawn full of money. Yes, I did. It wasn't my money,
no.
But I did find it. This morning, I'm going to have you turn in your scriptures to the 103rd Psalm.
Yes.
And I want to introduce a subject to you and get you thinking along a certain lines if we can. And maybe some have thought about these things, but we're always aware that there's some that are newer to the things of God. And so we always want to be going over the basics. And you know, as a believer, the basics are never boring.
Right.
How many here like, and it's okay if you don't, but how many here like steak? Anybody like, almost everybody likes a good steak. It's okay, listen, if you're vegan, anything, you do you around here.
Yeah.
But we want you to like what you like. But how many don't ever want a steak again because you had one before?
Mm-mm.
Huh?
No,
because you've had it before, you want another one,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, it's amazing. Christians will do that with steak, but when it comes to the Word of God, they say, well, if I've heard that before, they turn it off saying, I've heard that before.
Yes.
Well, you've had steak before?
Yeah, right, right.
Some of y'all are like, just dismiss, get us to lunch. We're going to have some steak. In the 103rd Psalm, And maybe one of the lesser known verses in this psalm, but in the 19th verse, it says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all."
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, how many know that a throne relates to a kingdom, right? What is the throne where a kingdom is concerned?
Yes.
It's the seat of authority. It's the king's seat of the kingdom. So when we talk about a kingdom, and this just establishes the fact that God has a kingdom that rules over all, and I'll explain what that means and what that doesn't mean, because you might think like I thought, well, if God's kingdom rules over all, and we're here on this earth with all the problems we have, and you know, one of our favorite vacation spots, Maui, caught on fire and burned down.
Yeah.
Well, where was God's? People will say, well, where was God?
Right.
Where was right? And then if you just go back in history, and this happened. And this happened, and tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. You might say, well, if God's kingdom is ruling over all, it's not doing a great job of it.
Come on.
Can we be honest?
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Right.
But where's his throne?
His throne's in the heavens.
In the heavens.
In the heavens.
Yeah.
God's kingdom rules over all in the heavens. But you and I aren't in the heavens yet,
no,
right? I mean, I just talked to you about you can have a degree of heaven in you.
Right.
And you do if you're born again, if you're a child of God. But there's a truth here regarding this thing about God's kingdom that I want to help us see.
Yes.
Because there is God's kingdom is the same as God. I mean, God, it's no different than him. God is one that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. God does not change. And if you get to know him, it's so wonderful because your friends will change. People that you think you know people. I've been married for 1991. This is 2023. This will be our 32nd this year. So 31 and a half years. And you think you know somebody, but just how many knows when you think you know somebody, sometimes you get surprised.
Yeah.
That you always liked it this way, but now I don't want that. Why'd you get me that? I don't want that. And that's okay. You understand? That's okay. You don't have to get in a rut about things. But God changes not, meaning his character is always the same. Everything about, I'm not saying that he's boring. But I'm saying that there's something about him that's so consistent. And I'll tell you, if you meet a Christian who is developed spiritually and mature spiritually, one of their characteristics, they are going to be very, very consistent. You're not going to have to wonder what version of them you're getting.
Come on. Right.
How many are glad your pastor, that you don't have to wonder if she's going to be in one of those moods this Sunday? You know what I mean? If somebody was up here going through their moods, you know they're not spiritually fit. They're not spiritually mature. Because the more you grow in Christ, the more you become Christ-like.
Yes.
And Christ is the image of God. Jesus was the picture of stability. Well, God changes not, and his kingdom is an unchanging kingdom.
Amen.
Now, you might say, what's this have to do with much of anything? Well, if you go to the third chapter of Matthew, we're going to see that in the New Testament, where the Old Testament kind of mentioned God's kingdom, the New Testament kind of makes it a pretty big thing, makes it a focus.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the thing that started this whole thing we call the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 3, starts talking about John the Baptist. How many know John the Baptist was the predecessor of Jesus? He was one sent before him to prepare the way.
Yes.
Well, if I had you preparing something for me, it would be helpful if whatever you're preparing was aligned with what I was going to do. You know, if I said, if I said, I want you to open up the service for me, sing a couple songs, and you just pulled out like, a Beatles song, Barry Manilow song, or whatever you like, you know, some hip hop stuff. And it's not the style that's the issue, but what you're singing about, if it has nothing to do with what I'm about to minister, then you didn't prepare for me, right? So you'd have to prepare along the lines that which we know here is just we want to focus on God. It's all about giving you an experience with Him. And so Jesus was coming. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way. In verse 1 it says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And here's what he preached. Verse 2 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This kingdom that rules over all is at hand. Well, what's it mean when you say something's at hand? The time has come. It's here. It's now. I like to say you just put your hand in front of your face. And you can only, how many know, unless you have some superpowers, you can only extend your hand so far. Right? And it's still right there. It's as far as you can extend your hand, it's still right in front of your face. If something's at hand, it's right there. Right? So this, and this was the message that the one preparing the way for Jesus came. This is what he preached. Repent. Repent simply means, it doesn't mean, you know, cry and feel sad all the time. That's not what repent means. Be open to change and be willing to make any change that you need to make. How many know that when you come to Christ, you do have to be like that?
Yes.
Right? And if you want to grow in Christ, the Christian life is all about, if you're just new to this, I'll just tell you, the Christian life is one change after another change after another change, but it's great change.
Yes.
It's not all comfortable change, I won't lie.
No.
It's not all comfortable change, but it is change that you want. It's change that's worth it.
Yes.
Amen. There's nothing stagnant about living with God, connected to God. If you're following Him, He will lead you into change.
Amen.
Yes, He will. Yes. You're like, tell me something I can get excited about. I'm sorry. It's the best I got today. So John preaches this message, repent, be ready to change, because there's a kingdom at hand.
Yes.
Chapter 4 in Matthew. Chapter 4 in, let's see, the 17th verse. I'm looking in a different Bible than I normally preach from, but that's all right. In the 17th verse, Jesus starts his ministry. So John, now the focus is off of John and on to Jesus. And verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, same thing actually, is at hand. Now, you'd think Jesus could be original enough to at least give his own title to his sermon. But he preached the exact word for word, preached John's message.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because I've done that too. If I hear something good, why change it?
Amen.
Brother Kenneth Hagin used to fuss at certain ones. Well, he'd fuss at, like, if you know who Brother Kenneth Copeland is. Brother Hagin would talk to Brother Copeland and say, can you at least change the titles? I mean, you're preaching my messages word for word. And you don't know how many people would open their Bible and pasted in their Bible would be Brother Hagin's book. Because maybe they were new to preaching, hadn't been changed, and they're like, this thing changed my life, so I'm just going to stand here. People think I'm preaching the Bible and smart enough to just, like, you know, fill it in. But no, they're just reading the pages of his book in there. Dr. Ed Dufresne did exactly that same thing. That's how he started preaching. Well, the way he started actually is he'd bring a tape recorder and just turn it on and stand there and have everybody listen to it, a recorder of somebody else. And then God dealt with him, leave the tape recorder at home, so he just put the book inside his Bible. Amen. Well, I'm not doing that today, but, you know, Jesus just preached John's message.
Right.
Well, how many know it was John picking up what Jesus was going to preach?
Yes. Yes.
And so he preached this thing called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It means the same thing. Mm-hmm. But let's just, for one second, define, what are we talking about when we talk about a kingdom? And you don't have to think outside the box, because just what is a kingdom in this natural world? A kingdom is a sphere of domain, right? I mean, it's a system of government with accompanying laws. Would you agree? That's really what a kingdom is, right? A system of government, a rulership with accompanying laws.
Yes.
It can be geographical, or it cannot be geographical. And so, you know, to illustrate this, like, we are actually meeting today in the kingdom of Castle Rock.
Yeah.
It's a municipality. It's a, well, I guess we're a city. Are we a city or a town? We're a town. The town of Castle Rock. But we're also in the kingdom of Douglas County, right? One kingdom is higher than the other. Meaning Douglas County can have some rules that Castle Rock is not free to make their own rules and change the county rules.
Right?
And how many know, of course, we're in the, all of us here, I believe, live in the kingdom of Colorado.
Right.
Yeah. And they can they have rules on the level of that kingdom.
Yes.
And there's rank of these kingdoms.
Yeah.
Really, you're in the kingdom of Faith Church Colorado this morning. Right? Because there's ways we do things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So a system of government, a sphere of rule or a domain with accompanying laws,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we understand that even in this natural realm, there can be higher kingdoms and lower kingdoms. But good news is God's kingdom rules overall. So, and what is God's kingdom? The same thing as our as what we talked about at the local and state and county level. It's a system of government,
yes,
with accompanying laws. It's a system of domain, a sphere of domain and influence. God's kingdom is not limited to the geographical location of heaven.
Amen.
Because actually, we may look at a verse that where Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, and he said, "Pray, your kingdom come," and then it went on to say, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." So God's kingdom has always been God's kingdom, but there came a time when the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is, repent, because the kingdom of God, we could say, has come to you.
Yes.
Meaning this. Don't get too excited. There's not a lot of room to run in this building, okay? But meaning this, that you and I are able, as citizens of heaven, which we are, you and I, because of who we have become in Christ, we are able to access the laws of a higher kingdom even while living in this earthly kingdom.
Wow.
So you are subject, and of course, and one of the things that the Bible is very clear about is that just because we have this higher kingdom does not dismiss us from cooperation in the kingdoms of this earthly realm. The Bible is so clear, and I want to say this because Christians are not always clear about this, that the Bible is very clear that the powers that be in terms of civil government, that the concept of civil government, meaning we have those in authority over us, that is ordained of God.
Yes.
And if you don't align yourself with the laws of the land, there will be consequences, and ain't no use praying, God, do something about these evil people. There's no use thinking, well, I've got a different kingdom, I've got different laws. No, you're still subject to this earth. But when there are laws in the earth that contradict the laws of the kingdom of God, then you and I, as citizens of heaven, did you know that you're a citizen of heaven now?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
How did you know that?
It says in the Word.
Where does it say that in the Word? You're not thinking of Philippians 3:20, are you? Are you thinking of Philippians 3:20? Is it Philippians 3:20 or verse 21? I'm rolling the dice here a little bit, but help us out, Master, Grandmaster, Wizard. Yes, it is, babies. Look at this, honey. What's it say? What's it say? But our citizenship is not someday will be. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are already citizens of heaven now. And because we're citizens of heaven, we can partake of the laws of the kingdom of heaven. You might say, how is that possible? That's exactly what Jesus came to deliver to us. And we can, of course, understand this by just, you know, again, in our earthly realm, we send people to other countries.
Yes.
Ambassadors, envoys.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes?
They don't stop being Americans because they live in Japan.
No.
They're just the ambassador to Japan.
Right.
They're subject to the laws of Japan while they're there,
right.
But they don't stop being citizens of the United States.
Right.
And they can, in Japan, benefit from the laws of the citizen of our country. Meaning if Japan or just some other country, if they decide to get unfriendly toward our ambassadors, we can extract them.
Yes.
We know how to get them out.
Yes.
And we know how to get provision to them if the country, the host country that they're in, doesn't want to help them out.
Right.
We know how to get them food. And it's not just octopus and seaweed. Hello. I like Japanese food. Anybody like Japanese food? But I like the hibachi stuff. I like the teriyaki stuff. The little wiggly raw stuff, you can have that. And if it's you, what I say?
You do you.
You like the wiggly raw sushi stuff? Go for it. You go for it. Think of me when you're eating. But how many know they can get you? They can get you American steak. They can drop it into you,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And in the same thing is true that as citizens of heaven, even though we're on earth. When earth is unkind,
come on.
When the laws of the earth, and I'm not talking about just the laws of America or just the laws of the state, but I'm talking even about natural law, the laws of physics. When they're not working for you, because how many know that the laws of physics, natural law, was broken to a degree when sin came in the earth?
Yes.
And so what we call the curse came into the earth, and that's why you spray the weeds,
right? Come on now.
And then 3 weeks later,
back.
Even though you sprayed the weeds, what happens?
More
come back. And how many know God didn't create this place like that?
No.
Right? And really, you can't use the kingdom of heaven to really do much anything about that, because the earth has not been redeemed from the curse that's on it, right? Just illustrating to you what I'm talking about. The laws, God never created this place to grow more weeds than watermelon, right? But if you want the watermelon, you got to deal with the weeds, and you got to keep the weeds out for things to grow. It was not that way when God created this earth. God created this world with his words. He said, light be. He said, fish be. He said, and then and he talked always to the realm that was to support it. He said, let the ground bring forth such and such and such. Let the ocean bring forth such and such and such and such. Right? Let the skies bring forth birds. How did it happen? I can't tell you how it happened, but I can tell you that it happened. But you know what's exciting? When he went to create man, even though he formed man's body from the dust of the ground, he didn't speak ground bring forth man. God said he spoke to himself. He spoke to himself and he said, let us bring forth, let us, Father, Son, Spirit, bring forth man. Why? Because God was who was to sustain man. His body came from the earth, but his spirit came from God.
Yes.
So we've always had this dual citizenship.
Yes.
But so many believers are ignorant of the fact that there is another system of government by which we can operate. Christianity is not just a destination. It really is a new life with new laws. And if you'll learn the laws, you can have the life.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we're preaching today. I said, if you learn the laws, you can have the life. And I'm talking about the good life. The good life. But you got to learn the laws.
Yes. It's true.
It's not hard. It's not a complicated kingdom.
No.
But it's not just exactly the same as the earth. So when things that pertain to you in your life come against you, and you find that the laws of the kingdom of this earth are not doing you right, meaning you're dealing with, God's created you and redeemed you from the curse, redeemed you to be able to live whole, amen, emotionally whole. How many know that's better than being tormented mentally? And not having peace, and then in your body having to deal with things. I'll tell you what, I'll just be transparent with you. I've been dealing with pain in my joints after I exercise. Mm-hmm. You might say, well, I have a good remedy for that. Stop exercising. And I'd love to, but I'm not going to let pain's not going to tell me whether I can ride my Peloton or not, or my spin bike. Pain's not going to make that decision.
No.
I said, my body's not going to decide for me.
Right.
My body is not my Lord.
Right.
My body is my servant.
Yes.
Get it? Everybody look at your body and say, get it straight.
Get it straight.
You're not in charge.
I'm in charge.
Well, who do we mean? I, the man on the inside. The real you, that's who's in charge.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. We die when it's right to die, not when you decide that you're gonna have some kind of wicked disease.
No.
You might say you're nuts. I've spent too much time in here.
Amen.
I know there are laws, so if the laws of the physical law is saying, well, you're just at a certain age. My Lord, I'm not that old. And not everybody my age deals with that. You're at that age where these kinds of things just start happening. Like I go to get out of bed and I'm like, yeah! That's not right. That's it. Jesus didn't die to redeem us from everything except that.
No.
So when the law, when natural law is being unkind,
come on,
and saying this is just the way it's going to be,
come on,
there is another kingdom.
Yes.
There are a set of laws
yes.
that can supersede
yes.
the laws of this natural realm.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And so think about it this way. When what you're dealing with in the natural contradicts what God has set in his law book.
Yes.
This is law review.
Law
right? This is the law review right here. When what God has said in here contradicts what you see and feel in here around you, then we're authorized to lay this on top of that. And demand
yes.
that we have this.
Yes.
Yes. The Apostle Paul one time, I'm not going to turn there, didn't plan to turn there. Actually, I have scriptures I haven't turned to, written down. But the Apostle Paul one time he was arrested more than one time for preaching the gospel. One of the times he was arrested, he was whipped, beaten, thrown in prison. Mm-hmm. And he asked the jail keeper, he said, by the way, is it lawful for you to beat and imprison a Roman citizen who has not had a trial, who's uncondemned, and was just thrown in here and beaten? And to just basically put it in our own language, what happened? The prison staff messed their britches. Can I say it that way?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
You're a Roman?
Yeah.
And Paul basically said, I demand my rights.
Yeah.
He said, you can't do this to a Roman.
Right.
And so actually, one of the jailkeeper, he came and he opened the door and he said, well, you're free to go. And he said, let the people who had me put in here, they need to come personally and escort me out and maybe apologize.
Yes.
I added that part. But Paul did say that. He did say, let them come. Yeah. Let them come take me out.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, oh, Mr. Paul.
Yeah.
Do you have everything you need? Why? Because of who he was.
Right.
But if he hadn't said anything about who he was, they would have just kept beating and they would have kept him in there.
Yes.
There's times, friends, where you and I need to speak up and say, this isn't right.
Right.
This isn't what Christ died to give
right.
me.
Right.
This isn't what's been bought and paid for.
Right.
I'm in a different kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
And I demand justice.
Yes.
Not based, and the good thing is, justice is not based on what I have merited,
no.
but it's based on what he accomplished,
yes.
based on what my king
yes.
has accomplished,
yes.
I demand the conditions of the kingdom
yes.
rather than the conditions of this world system.
That's right. Amen.
So Jesus starts his ministry by preaching this thing called the kingdom of God. And I don't think we hear a whole lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In Christianity. But it's essential. It's important that people know that your life can be nothing like it was.
Yes.
And there is a complete, it's not just a system of rules. It's not a system of laws like the Old Testament law of Moses, where it was do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then God will take a liking to you and... No. It's not doing things to get God to do something, but you do have to learn to cooperate with the laws, right?
Yes. Right?
How many know that as long as you stop when it's red, speed up when it's yellow, and go when it's green. Come on, you know what you do. You know what you do. And go when it's green.
Right.
Use your flippers. Use your flippers to this way. And use your flippers to, you know, and not all cars have turn signals. Because the people, when I'm driving, not everybody uses them, right? I remember I was driving with my son one time, and my son's really, he's pretty cool. He can just be very calm when other people would be cussing. He can be calm. And then he has his moments too, don't get me wrong. But he was sitting there one time and says, if only there were some way they could indicate their intentions. Sarcastic. Yeah, flip the thing, right? But as long as you do that, you can get where you need to go faster than your own 2 feet. It's amazing. But you do it by, and people say, well, laws are so oppressive. Laws cause you to go places faster than you ever could. How many know that the law of lift and thrust. Have you learned it yet?
Yes.
The law of lift and thrust
yes.
sends me anywhere I want to
yes.
go.
Yes. Thank God.
And if I had to drive to those places, I'm going this Thursday, I'm flying to, I'm doing the Buffalo Shuffle.
Yeah.
We're going to Buffalo and then to Canada for some meetings. Well, if I had to drive there, man, I need too much. I've done it before,
yeah.
too much.
Yeah.
But how many know I can be there in 2.5 hours
yeah.
because of laws?
Yes.
Because of laws.
Yes.
Laws are not oppressive
no.
if you're on the right side of them.
Yeah.
Laws, and if they're good laws,
yeah.
if they're laws for a good kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so our whole life is based on laws, and we've learned how to work certain things. You can work the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Until you have the conditions of the kingdom of heaven
yes.
in your life.
Yes.
In your life.
Yes.
You do not need to wait until you get to heaven to start experiencing heaven. When you go to heaven,
yeah.
it should not be a shock to your system.
Right.
Think about what heaven is.
Come on.
Yes. No electricity. God's glory lights the city. Electricity is a real step down.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No combustion engines.
No.
None of the stuff like no iOS, your operating systems
no.
would be like preschool to God, yes, to heaven.
Yes.
Right.
No disease. No sickness.
No sickness.
But the most remarkable feature about heaven is God's presence.
Yes.
Is God's glory. And that's also the most remarkable feature about hell, the complete absence of that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the worst thing about hell, is the complete absence of God. You, people on earth who are lost, they're still not in a place where God is absent. You can encounter God's presence here on earth, not in hell. Completely absent. That's the worst thing about hell. And the best thing about heaven is God's presence.
Yes.
Glory to God. And it shouldn't be a huge shock to your system when you get there. It's just going to be a whole lot more of it. But you can have measures and degrees of it here on earth. And you can have more and more and more of it. And you can have more of heaven here on earth.
Amen.
Well, I'm not just up here spewing off theory, you understand.
No.
We live this way.
Right.
We live this way.
Right.
We enjoy heaven every day.
Yes. Amen.
If you've been to our home, I'm not saying the physical structure of our home. I'm just saying our home is heaven on earth. We don't. There's things in the world that other people live with. We don't allow certain things. We don't allow anything that'll take peace away, because that's not heaven. We don't allow strife.
No, that's right.
She tries sometimes. Well, we're not going there. We just not going to go. We just not going to have it. How many know it takes two?
Yeah.
It takes two. Everybody look straight ahead, especially if you're married. Look straight ahead. It takes two.
Yeah.
Somebody got to initiate, somebody got to respond. And if you just won't respond the way it was initiated, you can, man, I'm telling you, you can melt that thing. You can melt that frozen thing really quick.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Huh?
Yes.
Guys, just do this. No matter what it is, you're right, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, I'll change. Tell me I'm not right. Tell me I'm not right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. No, if you want to have heaven on earth, if you want to have a heavenly marriage, both parties will at times apologize for things for which they actually don't think they're wrong.
Right.
You're like, I would never do that. It's best that you're not married then. It's best that you're not married. Because there's nothing more important than the peace of God, the love of God. And we're so in that flow that if we got out of it, it would be really, really strange.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to know there's different worlds you can live in.
Yes.
And Christians, you got a new world. A whole new, come on. A whole new world. My preaching voice and my singing voice don't work at the same time all the time. What movie was that from? Little Mermaid, something like that?
Aladdin.
Yes, same thing. Because really, isn't it all the same story? The princess, it's, yes. Come on, there's a whole new world you can live in.
Amen.
You don't have to be subject to the kingdom of this earth. Now, you still in Matthew chapter 4? Because we sure look at the time and everything like that. Wow. Matthew chapter 4. So as Jesus starts his ministry, we saw that verse 17 said, from that time Jesus began to preach. What did he preach? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then just a couple verses later, verse 23 says, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming what?
The gospel.
The gospel means what? Do you know what gospel means?
Good news.
That's literally what the word gospel means. Proclaiming the good news of a different world, a different realm, a different kingdom.
Yes.
Proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And notice what went along with it.
Healing
every disease and every affliction. Well, why that? Because in the kingdom of God, there is no sickness is not a thing in heaven. And Jesus was not just preaching about this kingdom. He was demonstrating the laws of this kingdom, where you can overlay the kingdom laws on top of natural laws and get supernatural results. And the supernatural results he was getting was every disease. Do you hear what the Bible said? Every. You have to know that. You have to know that, because sure as it says every, you experience something. And if you live long enough, you'll experience something or somebody you know close to you. You or someone close to you is going to need healing. You understand that?
Right. Yes.
And sure as it says that you'll experience something and the thoughts will come to you really from the enemy. Not this. You can't be healed of this. You can't be healed from this.
Come on.
Not this. This won't change.
Yeah.
You will have things, whether it's a disease or other circumstances, you will have things come and try to park themselves in your life and say, we will never change. This is how it's going to be forever.
Yeah.
Are you going to look at me like that? Listen, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to go to one more verse because I see what you're saying. Go to Hebrews 12. All right, y'all were looking, turning, so you didn't see me just spill water all over myself. I don't like drinking from cans. Is anybody here like that? I don't normally drink from cans. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to pick it up just in the middle of a passage here in verse 26. Well, no, verse 25. Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. See, we could stop right there. I actually didn't plan to say that, but don't reject me, guys. Come on, man. Don't refuse what you're getting today. I don't sense you are. You're not spitting this out, but you're taking it in. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. It's not talking about me. It's talking about the Lord.
Yeah.
For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. You see that? God's voice shook the earth. And this is actually a reference to the children of Israel long ago when God got mad because of what they had done. And he said, I want to talk to you all. And so they came out and he said, come to this mountain. And they came out and God's presence came on the mountain and the whole mountain caught on fire and the earth started trembling and shaking. And the people did what you and I would do. They hit the ground, fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Do you know, friends, that God could manifest himself to you in a way if he didn't dumb things down and if he just in raw glory and power manifested his fullness to you, it would scare the pea waddling out of you. You understand that? And so it's his great mercy that he gives himself to us in doses that don't ruin our mortality. You know what I mean? One day we'll be immortal and can take it all. For now, let's find that threshold where it's about to burn me up, and that's how much I want. I want that much of God, just what I can, until I can physically not handle it anymore. Amen. So his voice shook the earth. But now he's promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Now, we won't go into all that this means, but anything that's been created on this earth, so much of it's going to burn, right? That collection, your baseball card collection, my saxophone collection, which I'm really just getting started, right? Your classic car collection, whatever it is you collect, you understand? It's all going to, all it means is you have a bigger pile that's going to burn than my pile. I mean, the stuff on this earth is all going to burn, but there are things that are eternal.
Yes.
And things, there will be shaking going on in times and seasons to come. In our earth, and we've even seen it. You know, I mean, I mean, if you can accept this, and I'm again, don't leave the church because of this, but even what we went through with COVID, in a sense, that was some shaking that was going on, and a lot of folk fell off. In a lot of churches, like almost every church I go to and minister at, who was I talking to just recently? They said, well, you know, 2/3 of our people didn't come back. Wow. Like we know churches. I know a church pastor friend of mine in Tulsa, in a certain community there. Huge amounts of their people just didn't come back. Wow. Well, we're not saying that God shook it and caused that. No. But when they were shaken, things fell off. Yeah. Right? But there are things that cannot be shaken that will remain. Verse 28 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving what?
A kingdom
that cannot be shaken.
Yes.
You'd be more excited about it if you understood this, that the kingdom of God cannot be moved. There are no other laws that can unseat the kingdom that rules over all. His kingdom is the highest kingdom. The kingdom of our federal government is not higher than the kingdom of God. No, there is no kingdom of this world that's higher. And so everything can be shaken. And you might think, man, anything that can be moved will be moved. But if your life is aligned with the kingdom of God, you won't be able to be moved.
Right.
And see, here's the thing. Because our kingdom can't be moved, there's nothing that our kingdom can't move. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, but it's just the truth. I'll say it again. Because our kingdom, the kingdom of God, can't be moved. Shaking, can't be moved.
Right.
I didn't say it. We just read it. Did you see it up there? We receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You can't overcome the kingdom of God. Therefore, the believer who knows how to align with the laws of the kingdom, they can't be overcome. You can't be overcome. If you're aligned with God's kingdom, if you're working the laws of the kingdom of God, you can't be defeated.
Right.
You can't go under.
No.
You can't be moved.
Right.
And there's nothing that by working the kingdom, there's nothing that you can't move. Jesus said it.
Yes.
And it will give you a preview of some of what the laws of the kingdom are. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, even something looks small, you'll say to this tree, be plucked up, be thrown. What are you doing? Moved it. If you have faith, if you just have a little faith, speak to this mountain.
That's right.
Tell it to be what? Tell it to be moved. Now, what is, and everybody in Colorado should be able to pass this test easily. What is the most defining feature about a mountain?
It's big.
It's big. 14ers are big. How does that translate into your life? What do you mean moving mountains? Have you ever had something come up in your life that was big?
Yes.
This thing is big.
Yeah.
It's like there's no way. Yes. It's not. It can't move. How many know mountains can't move normally?
Right.
Scientists do tell us that we're on our third set of Rockies. Did you know that? We went to the Garden of the Gods Visitor Center one time, and we found out we're on our third set. So what you see out here is Rocky 3.
Not the best version.
Which was not the best sequel in the Rocky series. Anyhow, can we close this up for today? Maybe close this up. Do you see how big this is, this subject? And do you see that what God has provided for us as citizens of heaven, we don't have to live like other people live. It's not just receive Jesus and when you die, you'll go to heaven. It's learn to bring the laws of heaven into this earth in your sphere, in your domain, which is really your life. And those under your authority. And we can do this. We're not preaching something that we haven't spent a little bit of time proving out. We've been living this now for years and years and years and years, decades. I'm telling you it works. Telling you it works. I promise you it works. Amen. Amen. Have we ever failed to do it? Yeah, a time or two. I mean, or three or four, probably. And probably a lot more that I don't even know about, that God's so good he doesn't point them all out to me. Right? But I'm telling you, when we've aligned with the laws of the kingdom of God, these things work. And what we want to get to, I'm not here next week. Amy might pick up on these things. I'll be here the week after that. And she won't, so I'll definitely get back to this. But there's some different things in particular that are like some main components of how this kingdom can manifest here on earth. That if we'll learn these main components and actually practice them, boom. Come on, say it with me. Come on. Boom. Do the hand. Boom. Boom.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. So we just gave you a little bit of this today, a little bit of the word. There's so much in the word about this, but wanted to just help you along these lines because it's helped me. Praise the Lord. You received something. Our kingdom can't be moved. And there's nothing our kingdom can't move.
Yes.
Learn to leverage God's kingdom against the circumstances in your life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Every one of us here can be in a different place a year from now than we are now.
Yes.
As we gain more skill in the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, that's my plan.
Yes.
Pray with me, Father. How grateful we are.
To be a part
of an unchanging kingdom.
Help me see.
Open my eyes. And help me learn the laws
of the kingdom of God
and apply them to my life so that your will
is done in me
on earth
as in heaven.
And we thank you for it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.